Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 301. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me in Las Vegas, Nevada, but not really with me, Cole Coffee. We're doing things a little bit different today. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of fun because, honestly, it opens up some possibilities of some other things we can do in the future, but that's not really the reason we did this. We are not together. You are on the palatial grounds of the Casa de Cold Coffee, while me, I am out here on the outskirts of Las Vegas where Durango dead ends.
And the zombies and the wolves and the just the aliens out there partying.
You have such a screwed up conception of where I live. But yes, I'm out on the outskirts of Las Vegas. But we're doing this basically because we're respecting the quarantine, right? I mean, you just went and traveled and got to see the family for Christmas. You came back and, you know, the right thing you're supposed to do is quarantine, of course. And it's kind of, I guess, a little bit of breaking news, but confirming news at least. I am going to Abu Dhabi next week. I wasn't sure about that until very recently because I didn't have a passport. But I finally got my passport in. And I've actually already, they ramped it up a little bit. I've actually already taken one COVID test. They made us take one 10 days out this time, which was new. We haven't done that in Fight Island before. And then they sent us directives, you know, hey, be sure between then and when you leave to just, you know, keep your quarantine extra tight, stay around your family only. So basically, you know, safety and following the instructions. You know, you just traveled and you're back now, but we're doing this remotely. So we're in two different places, but it's kind of a new way that something we might be able to do in the future because you've stepped up your game a little bit. You got some new gear to work with. You're always about the gadgets. I think so far, I think it sounds pretty good, even though we're not together.
I know. It's actually kind of nice. I mean, like, part of this was, I want to say, is this stimulus or is this just sympathy money? I can't remember. It's like, let's get gear to just focus on other things besides how life sucks because of 2020. But yeah, no, this is different. I'm actually in my music room. This is, I always called the main room where I work Studio B, and this is, I called this Studio A, or did I have it backwards? Well, whatever. This is the music room, but, so yeah, I have a different setup, with a mic, and it's going through a different processor stuff, which makes it more sound like a studio sort of sound. But yeah, I think it sets up the possibility for us to be able to do some stuff remotely, maybe do some other little fun things that, you know, can help augment. You know, I know we're always thinking about different ways we could do different stuff with Patreon. So we'll see what that means going forward or whatever. But
could maybe open up some video possibilities as well. We're not recording this as a video, but I'm actually looking at you right now, and you're looking at me. I don't know if anybody wants to see our ugly mugs while we're talking and doing this thing, but you know, if they do,
I know people have asked about it in the past. We've done it in the past. It's been a while since we've done like a live stream. When we did this, but we do have the capability to do it. I would probably bring the camera that I have set up in the other studio setup, because this camera on this particular little PC is garbage.
Right.
I look not so great. Your camera looks much better than mine.
Yeah, well, you know, this camera here, it adds a couple of pounds, you know, so I'd probably try to look for a different camera as well. You know, I don't think you're really seeing the full representation of my svelte and slim figure right now as we sit down and do this. So, you know, I'd want to tweak the camera a little bit as well.
Yeah, well, you know, as we tweak our bodies in 2021, as the new round of, what do you call them, the things you make every year, you say you're going to do this, what do they call them?
Resolutions?
Resolutions, yeah, as it's time for the new resolutions, we'll see, maybe there will be the new svelte John Morgan at some point in 2021.
I got to work on it, man. I'm turning 43 in March. My doctor didn't give me the cleanest bill of health ever. And, you know, truthfully, man, I really, if I'm being honest, I want to try to chase after some more broadcasting opportunities, calling fights in 2021. I really, really enjoy it, man. I kind of had forgotten how much I enjoy doing it. And I love my job, man. I love being, I mean, obviously, feel fortunate to have a great job with the MMA Junkie, man. And I love, you know, just doing what I do. But, you know, I've been doing it for a long time as well and kind of adding a little tweak and doing something different and calling fights, man. I absolutely love calling fights. And I'd like to chase some other opportunities. I mean, CFFC is fantastic, but they only have so many dates. I'm hoping, I don't know if you knew this, Tough Enough actually signed a deal with Fight Pass for 2021 as well. So, yeah, I haven't talked to them. I mean, I've done Tough Enough off and on over the years, so I'm hoping they'll still have me in the broadcast booth there. But, you know, I kind of want to add that. And I know in order to do that, if you want to be on TV, and it's not that I want to be on TV, that's not it, but I just like calling fights. But I know they want you to kind of look good, right? You got that on-camera look you got to have, so... I guess I'm going to chase after it. I gotta maybe not have quite as many frosty beverages and try to shed a few of these LBs.
Yeah. Well, speaking of frosty beverages.
Well, in the meantime, that's 2021, baby. It's still New Year's Eve right now. It's still 2020. So Latchkey Brewing has come through for us in a big way. Our good friend Anthony Beach, man, he always does it right. Sent us a little care package for the holidays. Check them out if you're in San Diego, California, 1795 Hancock Street down there in San Diego. They do a fantastic job. I think their tap rooms closed just for a couple days to get through the holidays, but they'll be back soon. And stop by and check out the fantastic crafts that our man Anthony Beach puts together. I, right now, am enjoying a Doppeldocker. That is a 7.2% rich, malty flavor with a slight caramel toastiness, deep in color, to mild finish. I mean, I really do. We've had this one before, and I love this one, man. It's a dark beer, but it's just so nice and smooth, man. It goes down perfect. I love this one. So that's how I'm getting started on my New Year's Eve, because you know we don't miss days. 301 consecutive Thursday nights we sat down and done this. And this is how I'm kicking off my New Year's Eve. How about yourself over there, Cold Coffee? What are you rolling with today?
Well, here I'm not alone because I've been joined by the Stranger, a 10% Imperial Stout, which bends me over every time I start a podcast with it. This one always starts it right. You could taste like the chocolate and like caramel, and it's super, super delicious. It's very dark. This always just opens the floodgates. Whenever I start with this one, it's usually a giant shit show, so hopefully we'll wrap this show up quickly before I get into the other ones. Cause I know you brought some other ones as well that we'll do, but in honor of Anthony and how much he likes to get me fucked up on these things, I started with the Stranger. And it's going down pretty good. It's been a while since I had this one, but the first bite is always, you know, I think anytime you start off with like a 10%er, especially even like stouts for me, the first sip or two is kind of, it's like, oh, it's a little jarring. It's a little bit of a bite. But after you sort of, your palate sort of glossed over by the stoutness, it goes down smooth. And right now I'm in that point where it's starting to go down smooth.
I was going to say, luckily for you, we didn't pregame with it. Now, sometimes we'll start in pregame and we'll chat for a little while, and, you know, the Stranger will go down, a couple more will go down, and then you get on and hit the record button and things just go all a mess. This time, you're having it as we record, so you're holding it together.
So you got
right
a few
now.
Minutes. We got a few minutes.
There's no way you make it till midnight tonight, though, right?
No. Oh, man. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to try. I think so, but the stranger will try to put me down, but I'm gonna fight him.
Well, listen, it is a new year. I know everybody's looking forward to 2021. I will say, other than the resolution to try to get myself into some semblance of health, I really don't have much. I hate to say it, and I definitely don't want to be negative by any stretch, because I want to go into 2021 with some positivity. But I will say, just like 2020 has felt like kind of just a blah year, I don't really feel like anything's going to necessarily be different tomorrow on January 1st, unless you make a conscious decision to make it different, right? I mean, unfortunately,
that's it.
It's still kind of just an extension of what we have. So if you were waiting for that calendar to turn and everything to just magically be better, it's not going to be. It's still going to be the same kind of day tomorrow, but you have to make a conscious decision, right, within yourself to say it's a new year and I'm going to treat it like a new year.
That's it. I mean, like, 2020 has been literally a soul-crushing year for me, but I know that just by the fact that the calendar switching dates isn't going to change that, you know, but it's going to be the way that I approach it, the way that I, you know, deal with adversity, and the way that you kind of push forward. And, you know, like you said, even with just setting resolutions, but just seeing the fact of, you know, everybody can look at it and say, all right, well, I'm gonna give it a go again. This gives me a reason to kind of keep pushing and try to grind and find your way, you know. And as bad as things have been for me this year, I know there are much more people out there that have dealt with much harder things than I have. So I like
you're up there, bro. You're up there.
I am up there. But, you know, I am always, too, one of those believers that, you know, what doesn't kill you has to make you stronger if you push and if you just keep grinding. And I'm looking forward to try to, you know, just do better and good things in 2021. You know, I made a promise to Agent H and others that I was going to try to be a better person. And, you know, I want to continue to try to grow as a man, as a human being next year. So outside of course, trying to do things like, you know, get in shape and other stuff, you know, part of it too is just, you know, I think one of the things I learned this year is that even in the face of shit being really bad, you could still be a decent human being to others. Mm. And that, but it is something you have to work on. And, you know, and if you are a good person and if you work and you do good things, you have to hope and believe that good things will come back upon you. And if they don't, at least you're still not an asshole, you know, but you know, it just grind or whatever. So I got a lot of, you know, side things that I've been working on to try to just keep my head going. But, you know, the idea of, you know, always trying to grow our Patreon, try to grow the business, try to grow the brand that we've started, is always another fun thing as well. So, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, it's weird. You talk about the trip thing. It felt weird to get on a plane. That was the first time I've gotten on a plane since my surgery at the beginning of the year, I believe. Wow. And it just felt weird. And this is coming from a guy that I would live on a plane. Yes. You know, if you asked me a year prior, I'd be just like, whatever, send me wherever, whatever, whatever. And I had reservations because of just the whole, you know, the way that you hear about, you know, how airlines were just cramming people in there, you know, how the things travel, you know. But at some point it was just like, I realized, you know, my family had been pushing me to go visit them. And at some point it just had to be like, all right, well, just suck it up, you know, do what you can. I double masked it when on the way out. I literally had a mask underneath a mask. And on the way back, my brother, who's a nurse, gave me one of his like nicer N95 ones like this.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like super like,
they're hard to
breathe.
Tight
on the face. It was hard to breathe. I was like, oh man. I was like, I almost wanted to go back to look like the fool with the double mask. But I was like, I know this one's better. But I was like, but I can't breathe with this, you know? But it felt good to get on the plane. But it did. It felt weird to be traveling again. So I know that that'll change next year. But yeah, it's just, whew, what a year this has been. But, It's been a mixed bag by no means. Do I say 2020 was all bad? No, there were definitely some gleaming moments, and even the growth of the Patreon and the listeners has been a bright spot for 2020 as well. You know, we had more Patreon people this year joined than ever before, and I really feel like we're getting sort of this community building, which is what we always wanted in the first place. That's what we started, was just like two guys who just want to talk MMA and have beers and just have fun doing it. And then some people decide to join along the ride. So, you know, as bad as 2020 has been, on the bright side, this podcast and the Patreon network behind us has been a bright spot and definitely has helped buoy my emotions and me this year for sure. So thank you all. I know we say it over and over and over for you guys supporting, but you guys were a highlight of 2020.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
Man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, man, come for the MMA talk. Stay for the inspiration. Stay for the
stranger
motivation.
Is already kicking in. The stranger is grabbing me by the balls already.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. I knew it. Anthony Beach knew exactly what he was doing, man. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Latchkey Brewing. Well, let's do talk about a little bit of MMA. There was some overnight. I don't know how many people took the plunge, man. We're all getting a little bit older, a little longer in the tooth, and I don't know if any of us stay up overnight to watch the whole, you know, rising Japanese MMA action. I know when I was a kid, I used to be able to stay up till 5 in the morning and watch it. Now I gotta watch it on replay. But Ryzen 26 did take place overnight. It was kind of a hardcore Japanese show, so I won't go too deep into it because I know there's going to be a lot of names on there that people aren't necessarily familiar with. But the big one there, Kyoji Horiguchi with the big rebound, picked up the first round TKO win over Kai Asakura to get back his bantamweight title, the Ryzen bantamweight belt. And man, Kyoji Horiguchi, I kind of wanted to just take a second and and have like a Kyoji Horiguchi appreciation moment or something like that. I mean, if this is a guy that isn't on people's radars, which I understand is tough, right, because it's a little more difficult to follow like the Japanese MMA scene. But so when guys leave the UFC, I understand it's easy for them to kind of fall off your radar. And of course, he did have the loss, and then he had the injury, the setback, which took a while away from him. But man, that pushed his career record, Cole Coffey, to 29-3. I mean, the dude is an absolute stud.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy is worth watching, and I really, really hope, we got to see him in the Bellator win over Darian Caldwell, and I hope we get some more of that crossover going this year.
Yeah.
And get that crank back up, because to me, Kyoji Horiguchi is a guy that really deserves a lot of respect. I honestly, for the longest time, I thought he was a guy that had a real chance to beat Demetrius Johnson. I just feel like they gave him that opportunity way too early in his career, and he didn't get a chance to develop. But this is a guy that you need to be paying attention to. I understand everybody can't watch everything, but I just wanted to make sure and mention that name, because there are incredibly talented fighters competing outside of the USC, and this is one of those guys for sure.
Yeah, and when you look back, let's see, when his professional career started, 2010, which is just crazy that guys can still perform at such a super high level. And I think some people say always too, like the smaller guys, I don't know if they're just in better shape or their bodies hold better than some of the big heavyweights. But the guy looks just as good as ever.
Yeah. You know? Well, he started young. He's still young. You know what I mean? He's not pushing 40 or whatever. He's like, he might only be 30, 30. If I'm right. Yeah, 30 or 31. It's
That's crazy.
He might just be entering his athletic and physical prime now.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And I tell you,
I didn't realize
funny.
He was so young. I thought he was a little bit older than it.
Yeah, I tell you what's funny That's though. Crazy. So here's the deal: is that I do think he kind of fell off people's radars a little bit, because of going over to Japan, because of the injury and the layoff and that sort of thing. Here's what's crazy though. So I wanted to talk about how good he is, and then I was thinking, I'm like, why do we not have this guy on our bantamweight ranking list? Like, what are we doing wrong? Have we screwed up? And then I went and pulled up the bantamweight rankings that we have at MMA Junkie. You know, we review them every week. I mean, Gorgeous George from Junkie Radio, he's kind of in charge of them, and then I'm kind of the head of the review panel, I guess. He makes suggestions, then I bounce back at him. Now, listen, I think this win might get him back on there. I mean, it was his first fight in over a year. His last fight was a loss, that shocking non-title loss to Kaya Sakura back in August 2019. He's been a little bit stagnant. But those bantamweight rankings are legit. I mean, look at who's at bantamweight. Honorable mention: Cody Stammen, Casey Kinney, Merab Dvalishvili. Those are just your honorable mentions. Then you get into the list: number 15, Chito Vera; number 14, Song Yadong; number 13, T.J. Dillashaw; 12, Dominic Cruz; 11, Jimmy Rivera. Then you start getting up into the top 10, of course. And I don't know that Horiguchi belongs there right now in the top 10, but I think he should. I think he should crack into the top 15. I mean, it's tough to leap some of those names, but I he's got to at least be an honorable mention, if not crack into the top 15. But there's just badass names.
Yeah, who'd you say was at 14? Or is it 13? Who's at 14?
So, it's Yadong. Yadong is sitting right at number 14. Yadong is right there at 14. Yadong is holding firm at 14. Yadong was on the rise. Yadong was on the rise early in 2020. But, of course, 2020 was a tough year. Yadong didn't get a lot of action in 2020. And so Yadong is kind of just, staying firm right there at 14.
It's always good when Yadong shows up. It's always good. Always good. Okay, I just had to clarify. I wasn't quite sure who was at that 14th.
Oh, spot. My gosh. I love it, man. This stranger is setting in already. I dig it. So, yeah, just had to give a shout-out to Horiguchi. We'll be interested to see where he ends up. We update our rankings every Tuesday, so it'll be next week before we know where he lands. But I'll be interested to see what Gorgeous George Garcia does with Horiguchi, because I think he belongs back in there. And I will say this, too, by the way. Another moment, Ayaka Hamasaki, I should say, with the scissor choke there. I get a little frustrated, and I understand why people do it, especially since we run websites, and I understand the need for content during holidays and slow times, but I get really frustrated with people that give out of the year awards before the year is actually over. You know what I mean? Like, how can you just assume that there's going to be nothing worthy? And I'm not saying the scissor choke was necessarily an of the year type award. I think it'll wind up on our submission of the month awards that we do as a nominee. But that's a personal pet peeve of mine when you give away awards. And I understand a lot of it if we're going to pull back the curtains a little bit. I'm sure a lot of it is just websites that are looking for content when there are no live fights. They want to want to preset some content for like Christmas Day so that they can take some time off and just have some fresh content going up that doesn't have to be published right then. So I understand why you do it, but just my personal recommendation and my personal belief is you should not be giving out any awards until January 1 when all that stuff is wrapped up.
I like it.
You stand with me on that one?
I was trying to think of that Mandalorian line.
This is the way?
This is the way. Well, no, but then he's like, what does the little guy say? He's like, that's because I say so. Or that. I have spoken. Or is that what it says? I have spoken.
Something like that.
You have spoken after that. You just dropped it. You're like, this is what I think.
I tell you what,
I have spoken.
That was a highlight of 2020. The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Dude, that shit was dope.
I'm not even a huge Star Wars guy. I'm not. But watching.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know. Surprise, right? But watching that with my son every week was awesome. And even by the end, my wife, who's really not into Star Wars, even she was tuning in every week. She was waiting for the new episode to come out. So I will say, I'm sure by now everybody's seen The Mandalorian. I would imagine it was kind of a cultural thing. Dude. But if you haven't, it's worth it. I really enjoy it. Even if you're not a Star Wars guy, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Baby Yoda could be like person of the year or something. He could have been on like Time Life. He was a phenomena, you know, like it got people interested in it that had nothing to do with it. They were like, who's this cute little thing that everybody's talking about? And then people would watch the show to find out. And then they're like, you know, this show's kind of good. And it's like, yeah, we know.
Yep.
I thought it was awesome. But yeah, it's even my little nieces that I saw over Christmas were watching it. And it was cool. I was like, I mean, there's, I don't know what, 20 some odd year difference between us, but I love it when you can find something you could talk about. And so the Mandalorian was that for us this year, so that was kind of cool.
We actually had a Mandalorian Christmas tree in the Morgan household. My wife is a stud, man. She makes like custom Christmas trees every year for whatever theme Eli wants, and Eli wanted a Mandalorian Christmas tree, so we had like one of those animatronic baby Yodas up on the Grogu, right? You got to go with the name, right?
Grogu.
It's
kind of a whack name, but
it's kind of a whack name, right? Like, even though we know it's not Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda's a lot better.
It's kind of whack. I have spoken.
We had him as the tree topper, and then we had a bunch of little ornaments and stuff.
How do you sit on the tree? Where did the tree go?
The tree just, you know, kind of. Probably uncomfortable for him, we'll say.
No wonder he was making noise.
Oh,
if it's like the angels that used to have to sit on those things, I'm sure Grogu was not happy about it.
Grogu's ready for the tree to come down.
I have spoken.
Some other mixed martial arts action. Well, I guess not mixed martial arts, but martial arts actions. Submission Underground 20 is there's an archive of that on Fight Pass if you want to watch it. It was all right. 19 was a lot better. That's my recommendation I want to make for Chael Sonnen, who I'm sure is absolutely tuned in and listening right now, probably celebrating with his family. Hey, Chael, good to talk to you, man. I always appreciate you listening, as always. But I love it when they have the MMA crossover, but unfortunately, you pretty much just have to do the MMA guys against the MMA guys. Like Mason Fowler and Ryan Bader. Mason Fowler just destroyed Ryan Bader. Craig Jones destroyed Satoshi Ishii. Richie Martinez destroyed CB Dalloway. And not that it's not. I mean, I guess it's cool because you can see like how good these grapplers are because we know these fighters and we know these names. And then they go in and get handled in like a minute. And you go, I guess on the one hand, that makes you go, wow, these guys are really talented. But I don't know, man. It's just, to me, it's not interesting because it's not competitive. Like when they announce these matchups, I'm like, oh, cool. I get to see Ryan Bader do something, but you know, he has basically no chance. And I don't mean that in any form of disrespect, just these grapplers who, of course, if these grapplers came to MMA, they would struggle. They'd get destroyed in an MMA fight, but they're so damn good at what they do. You know, it's not entertaining to me. The most entertaining match for me was Jillian Robertson tapping out Pearl Gonzalez. MMA versus MMA. And I know it was the fight that you were most interested in as well.
It's the one I'm going to go back and watch again and again and again. But you're right. But I think sometimes, too, if it was a purely submission artist, I'm so out of that element. Like, I would be like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Like, granted, after you watch enough of these, everybody knows who Craig Jones is because he just destroys everybody. But, you know, so for me, I guess it's kind of neat when you see a name that you recognize. And it's bringing light to, like you said, to spotlight how good these submission artists are because they're so extremely talented. Like, who is it? Was it Cynthia Calvillo that went in there recently? And I forget the young lady.
She was out
in
like 15 seconds.
And she just beasted her. And Cynthia is a badass. In the MMA world, she's a really good jiu-jitsu artist. But you put her against a pure jiu-jitsu artist, and it wasn't even close.
I know. That's the struggle, I guess. Because I like grappling events. I really do. And I like Submission Underground. I mean, I really enjoy it. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I enjoy it. And I want to see more people get into it. And I like it when UFC fighters are involved or you know, Bellator fighters. Just professional mixed martial arts. Names we know. It makes it entertaining. So, I don't know. It's just when you put them up, as you said, when you put them up and you think, well, they have zero chance whatsoever to win this match. I don't know. It makes it less fun for me to watch, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, because you're right. People like you won't know who these grapplers are, and that's a great opportunity for you to realize, like, oh, these dudes are stud or these girls are studs, but it's not competitive. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's – maybe you have to have some kind of handicap or something. Maybe there's some kind of, like, the grappler has to start in a bad position or – I don't know. Maybe there's some – you know what I mean? Like, maybe there's a way to handicap it a little bit to give the MMA fighter an advantage somehow.
I mean, I could definitely see that. I could see where a lot of them are like, man, don't do that, because now you're just pointing out that I'm not as good as this person. Like, let us just go in mano-y-mano. But you're right. But, I mean, it kind of feels like, no offense to some of the Bellator cards, where you're just like, wow, this is very lopsided in one direction.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it seems to work for them, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. I like the MMA versus the MMA people. I'm not opposed to the other one, because I guess it sort of, when it's like an MMA guy against a submission guru, there's always that part kind of like when an MMA person fights a boxer, you're like, you want to root for the home team.
Sure.
So part of you is like, oh man, come on, CB, you got this, you got this. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, you don't, but good try. You know, one for us, I gave it a good effort, you know. Because if it was just me purely trying to tune in to watch submission artists that I don't know, I probably wouldn't ever tune in.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that at least that there's some sprinklings of MMA fighters on it, I'm like, okay, I'm interested, because I want to see how MMA jiu-jitsu matches up with a pure jiu-jitsu artist, fighter, whatever you want to call it.
Well, if you're looking to kill some time and you haven't watched these before, I would recommend watching Submission Underground 19, which was like 2 weeks ago or a week ago, because it had more MMA on MMA matchups. But interested if anybody has any feedback on what they thought of Submission Underground 20, and I don't know if there is a way to fix it. Because you're right, you do have to have the crossover, otherwise people aren't going to tune in at all. So that was just my thoughts. That's all for you, Chael. You're welcome.
I will go back and look at that one. Yeah, thanks, Chael. And if you could book Pearl and Jillian every event, I would tune in to every event.
All right, listen.
Just saying.
The MMA Junkie End of Year Awards are starting to roll out just like everybody else. We did wait until January 1st because that's what you're supposed to do. They are starting to roll out, and we'll have like two or three awards on the site every day from different categories. You know, I know a lot of podcasts are doing their own versions of awards, but I didn't necessarily want to do that because we do have the MMA Junkie Awards, and we got to vote on those as a staff. We all kind of work on those together. But I did want to highlight two categories and find out how you voted and look at it against how I voted and just kind of tease a little bit of those awards. And let's start out with, how about Female Fighter of the Year? Let's start out with Female Fighter of the Year. I will I'll reveal my vote first. I voted for Zhang Weili. How about you?
I as well voted for Weili.
All right.
She's a badass. She's a badass. I mean, and well, I guess should we tell them who else was in the list that we voted for?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I will throw that out there, and I was going to get into it conversation-wise. So we kind of had a list that was given to us as nominees. Now, we're allowed to name anybody we want. But the three names that were on there were Chris Cyborg, Valentina Shevchenko, Zhang Weili. I can tell you that Danny Segura also brought up the fact that Mackenzie Dern went 3-0 this year with two bonuses and said that she should probably be in the conversation as well. And it's actually not a bad – I mean, it's kind of a – I guess it's a hipster pick, you know what I mean? Kind of an underdog pick or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't at the – I mean, you're talking about Bellator champions, UFC champions, you know, Grand Slam champion – versus, you know, Mackenzie Dern was doing it at a lower level. But it was a great year for Mackenzie Dern, so I won't take away. But I ended up going with Zhang Weili as well. So I'll let you lay out your point, because I think you were going to make a point as to why you went with her over those other two names that were on the list.
Well, part of it too, and I see his pick about Durham, but yeah, that, I like how you call it like a hipster pick. But part of it too, most of her fights were not 5-round fights. She maybe had a 5-round fight in there, maybe. When I looked at part of the criteria of some of the people that were being offered up, I wanted to look at the breadth of what they had done, the level of the fights that they had done, the amount of talent that they beat, how many rounds they're getting in there and fighting in these things. And when you look at Cyborg, you look at Shevchenko, and you look at Zhang, they're all fighting main event sort of fights, 5-round fights or whatever. But when I looked at her, part of it was, for me, just the overall part of what she brought to a whole region of fans as well. While the others had title wins, she had title defenses. She had brutal title, just gut-wrenching fights where, you know, and I know we'll talk about it eventually where it'll come out, but is one of the fights that most people regard as one of the best fights that they've ever seen in her fight against Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Right.
So that fight alone, and let alone what she brings to Asia and that whole market, for me, that was like a breakout sort of year. It just felt like who else brought something to where a whole new, I really feel like a whole new demographic of viewers and people were brought to MMA's attention because of her fights, her wins, her defenses. And so for me, any other year, it could have been Shevchenko or Cyborg, but with this being the big year that Zhang was able to sort of break out, for me, that's why I put her in my book as the female fighter of the year.
Man, you made a great case there. I can't lay it out much better than that, because I feel like that really echoed a lot of my thoughts as well. And it seems weird. Like, I could understand people right away. Well, how can you pick Zhang? She had one fight. She only fought one time. You know, the other two right off the bat had two fights, right? And they were all championship fights. So, you know, if you're talking about Shevchenko, if you're ruling out Dern and you're looking at Shevchenko and Cyborg, which was the ones that I look most closely at, they were all title fights. So, everybody's fighting at the highest level. I think with Cyborg, I mean, listen, Cyborg would probably be my second pick. I understand voting for Cyborg. She did beat Julia Budd. That was a great fight. Budd tested her, and Budd, Budd was high-ranked in the world, you know, former Bellator champion,
obviously.
Budd was a
stud.
Yeah, but absolutely.
That was a hell of a victory.
It was. It was really a great fight. And to gain that Bellator title and to get that Grand Slam championship, as she's calling it, you know, Invicta Strikeforce, UFC, Bellator, that's pretty damn historical in a career, man. That's pretty good. The win over Arlene Blanco, I don't want to disrespect Blanco. I just don't feel like she was ready for Cyborg. You know, she's just, that's a different level. And I understand she had worked herself into title contention, but to me, a bit of a mismatch, if I'm being honest. So I look at that one, and that one takes a step down. You know, maybe I don't know who else would have made me change my mind, but and I know it's tough, you know, in the 145-pound division to find contenders, but that would probably be my number two. But Shevchenko, I feel bad, because Shevchenko, I almost feel like her past success just makes it hard for her to live up to that every year. You know, she's been so damn good and so damn dominant that we expect things out of her, you know, and we expect her to be on a different level. So I think she's a victim of her own success in a lot of ways. But, you know, so really, honestly, those are both worthy contenders. I don't begrudge anybody that argues either one of them. But I think you hit the nail on the head, man. With Zhang, yes, she just had the one fight, but it's one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. Not greatest women's fights. I mean, it's one of the literal greatest fights I've ever seen, regardless of gender. It's one of the greatest UFC title fights of all time. You know, it probably lives in my head as a little bit special too. It was the last event we had with a crowd, so that made it even that made the experience even more incredible, because the buzz in the arena that night was something special. But what you said as well, I mean, expanding a market, you know what I mean? Like, just a new impact, broadening things. I mean, really meaningful change and meaningful growth in the sport. I feel like she's kind of spearheading that as well. So that was my pick. And it's funny, because I feel like the way women's MMA has been, most years it's pretty damn easy to pick who the female fighter of the year, because we've had such dominant champions. You know what I mean? It's either, you know, it's either Cyborg, or if you go back a few years, it's Rousey, or, you know, Nunes as of late. But to me, you know, I thought Zhang Weili deserved it this year. So that was my vote as well. So glad to know that you feel the same way and that maybe I'm not crazy. We'll see how that pans out.
Well, I mean, and you're not wrong about Cyborg. Cyborg, if, you know, and then maybe this is something that we could have thought about, the fact that we are starting a new decade this year. If I had to take the same list, well, this would never make sense because Weili hasn't been around that long, but Cyborg is like the fighter, in my book, would be the female fighter of the decade.
Yes.
The last 10 years, looking at what she was able to do from Strikeforce and through Invicta and what she was able to do with the UFC and then now into Bellator.
Yes.
Literally, there is no bigger name in women's sport. You know, Amanda Nunes is working her way up there, but No one can touch what Cyborg did that past decade. So if there was a women's fighter in my book for the past decade who carried you know the past 10 years in MMA, easily would be Cyborg. But like you said, you know, when you started laying out some of the facts for her, you know, you almost kind of expect it because yes, she's been such a dominant force. So it's maybe not as surprising when she pulls out more just magic from the hat when she does these crazy accolades. But, you know, she can't be fighter of the year every year. We got to give it to some other people every once in a while. But I will give Cyborg the women's fighter of the decade award that is non-existent. The MMA Roadshow Women's Fighter of the Decade. There you go.
There you go. That's our award that we get. It's the one and only we're giving out. All right,
it's the only one we're giving out.
Let's move on to Male Fighter of the Year, and then I'll throw it out there. Since you mentioned there was a list of names, I think for most people, it comes down to one of two names, and that is either Deiveson Figueiredo or Kevin Holland. And we did have a third name on there as well, which I think is deserving of being in the discussion as well, and that's Jan Blachowicz, obviously becoming UFC champion, you know, kind of starting out the year and on the outside looking in. But, you know, he's had this kind of incredible comeback and run to the top. But I think for most people, it probably comes down to Deiveson Figueiredo or Kevin Holland. And I voted for Deiveson Figueiredo.
I did as well.
Oh!
How crazy is it that we actually are like, we're not opposites. Well, I mean, we agree most of the time. It's not like we
do.
Just,
I know. I thought maybe we'd have, I went in blind. I thought maybe we'd have a little debate, but it looks like we're on the same page. And you laid out a great case last time. Let me lay out a great case for Deiveson Figueiredo right now.
Do
the,
it.
Here's what caused the difference for me. Kevin Holland, absolutely deserving of discussion and of recognition, right? I mean, what he did this year going 5-0 is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it's you know, it's been done a couple other times. Neil Magny and Roger Huerta, the only other two guys to do it. So, I mean, when you're talking about something that's only been done three times in UFC history, that's got to be impressive, right? Anything that's only been done one or two times before in UFC history, you know, that's impressive. The thing that is more unique about Kevin Holland is he did it in the shortest amount of time, the shortest span of total days. And listen, he ended the run in spectacular fashion, right? The knockout of Jacare, the way he did it, I mean, doing it from his back, that's pretty dang impressive. You know what I'm saying? So I give him a lot of love there and a lot of credit for that. I do feel like he deserves to be, you know, if you're giving out an award for like breakout fighter of the year, I mean, here, you know, here's a guy that, yeah, we knew about and he was on your radar. But, you know, coming into 2020, you weren't, you know, looking at him as, you know, this guy is going to be, you know, at the top of the heap or whatever. He's still not exactly a title contender, but he had five wins, and that is damn impressive. You know, we talked about all year long, right? There were going to be people that took advantage of this coronavirus time, this pandemic times, and they were going to work their way forward. He was one of the guys that capitalized. He said, you know, throw me in. I'm good. I'll fight. Let's go. Okay, so that's the case for Kevin Holland. But to me, Deiveson Figueiredo doing it at a championship level is to me more valuable. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, honestly, another guy that vaulted himself, I think, into, I don't want to say stardom. I don't know that he's a star, but he's certainly got that X factor about him. He's got the ability to be, you know, he's got the look, right? He's got the fighting style that people like.
He's got the swagger.
He's got the swagger. He, you know, he finishes fights, right? Everybody complains at flyweight that, you know, oh, this is there's not enough power. That no, this dude has power. He hurts you. So, you know, beating Joseph Benavidez twice. I mean,
twice.
twice, and not close, not edging him out via decision, but absolutely dominating him. I mean, the second one was one of the most one-sided
fights. Even worse.
Oh, dude, that just made you feel bad. That's one of the most one-sided title fights we've ever seen, you know? So to dominate a guy that in Joseph Benavidez that is, you know, one of those guys that's in discussion for greatest fighter never to win a UFC title, right? I mean, he's been a perennial contender for a decade. To beat him twice and to dominate him twice, that's impressive. You know, you get a short-notice opponent in Alex Perez, who maybe got rushed into a title shot, but you do what you're supposed to do. You go in there and you dominate and you get him out quickly. Yep. Gets him in less than 2 minutes. And then you get a scrappy, scrappy Brandon Moreno and you fight to a draw. It's a fight that I still, me personally, I know that, you know, you can't necessarily, you have to look at the results as they are. But to me, I think Deiveson Figueiredo won that fight. I don't think that the point deduction was wrong. I think the point deduction was fair. But, you know, the one judge that didn't have the draw had it in Figueiredo's favor, and he would have won a majority decision if Junichiro Comedio hadn't scored that fifth round for Brandon Moreno, which I think Comedio, who I respect as a judge, was like the only guy on the planet that gave him that round. So to me, you know, I get the criticisms, right? There is a draw. You did miss weight in one of those fights. So, so there's criticisms to be had. But when I'm looking at Fighter of the Year, I'm looking at the performances in the cage. And I understand you missed weight, and that's part of the job. And I'm not making excuses for him. You got to make weight, right? I mean, insert the Paul Felder speech, you know, get your shit together, people, and make weight. You got to make weight, right? But to me, man, the year that Figueiredo had to come from, you know, a fighter that we all, I mean, the hardcores knew that, and I've been a fan of this guy. I've been saying from the beginning, I think this guy is going to be a champ. But to ascend to that and to become somebody that I think is going to become a star, and again, to beat Benavidez twice, to win a UFC title, to defend a UFC title, you know, I don't know, man. To me, that is the Fighter of the Year.
Yeah, and you nailed it. I mean, Kevin is such a dynamic individual. I think a lot of what he did, I mean, those five fights were incredible that he was able to sandwich that in there, but he also did it with a personality that is just infectious, and you just want to...
Oh, he's great.
I want to watch his speeches. I want him to speak afterwards and talk shit, and he's a lot of fun. He's very engaging, and he just makes it fun to watch, because even when he's out there fighting, he's talking shit. It's super entertaining. If it came to, like, you know, one of the most entertaining fighters of, you know, 2020, he would have won it, because his fights were absolutely just spectacular, and every moment of them talking junk out there in the cage, and then he's, you know, super respectful as soon as the fight ends, and it's like you love everything about it. But part of it, and where I was looking at some of these fights in my books, was whether they were five-round fights, whether they were championship sort of level fights. And you look at that first Joe B fight that Deiveson fought, and even though he was unable to get the title because he was overweight in the first place, he won that fight. So in my book, he's in a sense has won or defended the belt three times.
Right.
You know, even though you only count that the one Joe B win. And that last fight, you know, he's able to hold on to his belt. You know, it was a draw, but he still maintain the belt. So in my book, that's still, you know, a win, even though it goes on the record as a draw. But that fight showed a lot of heart. There was a lot of points there where he was questioned, and a lot of people were like, oh, you know, is his cardio going to hold up? And Brandon, all the credit to him. I was so impressed with what he was able to withstand and still deliver in that fight, which he definitely moved up. I already had great respect for Moreno's heart and his effort, but even now he's turning it up another notch as well. I mean, his swagger sort of stepping up, the way he's, you know, sort of embracing, talking a little bit more instead of just being, you know, the quiet cutesy dude that just smiles and everybody just wants to pinch his cheeks. Now he's becoming a literal fucking killer out there. He's becoming... Don't you want to pinch his cheek?
It is true. I would have never said that, but it is true. Like, he comes around and just go, oh, dude, it's Brandon Moreno.
I love that dude. I literally just want to, like, scoop him up and, like, dude, yeah, and toss him in the air or something, because he's awesome. He's the kid that I never wanted to have, that I wish I could have as my kid. But looking at what Deiveson was able to do, just another guy that is, he's I feel like if he was in a cocoon stage, sort of festering these past couple years, has literally become this vicious, dangerous butterfly. He's just grown into something else this year, and all this pretty color and his pretty clothes, like on his Instagram. I love watching his Instagram. Like, some of his outfits are fucking outrageous. I love it. I would never try to pull him off, but all the credit to him in the world. But he's just a badass. So when in my book, there are a lot of tough guys. Jan, when it came to, he did really, really good things this year. Mm-hmm. He did. So, you know, he was able to capture the belt. He showed the Polish power. People started using that as it was like becoming a catchphrase again.
Right.
People are talking about Polish power. The legendary Polish power. And anytime something like that happens, you could tell a movement's sort of swinging in one way. So he gets a lot of credit for, you know, reinvigorating his career and making people know who he was. I mean, I think for a lot of time, he's kind of been this guy that people that watch the sport understand how good he is, but he just had some breakout performances where it was hard to not pay attention to what he was doing. But in terms of, in my mind, of just sheer dominance of a division, what Davidson has become now, he's become the boogeyman for that division. People seem to, all of them, they'll never say that they're afraid, but it's like, this is the guy that nobody wants to fight because he punches like a bantamweight or higher. I mean, I think he could knock out bantamweights with his power. I mean, when he hits full on, I mean, it's a scary thing. And
it's nasty.
So for when I looked at, you know, these guys and people that are making the overall biggest impact for their division, for you know, people looking at the sport, and if somebody had to say, okay, who's making that splash this year that people are gonna never just forget, Davidson for me was one of the guys that sort of edged the others. But I would be more than happy to have Kevin or Jan be representatives of the sport, because they both handled themselves incredibly this year, and they're two of the probably nicest guys that you could ever meet.
Yeah.
But in sheer terms of where I was in my head when I was looking to see who put the biggest splash, being just an incredible badass this year, for me, it was just Davidson. His performances and the way that he was able to secure that belt, and literally, there's no one in that division right now that can. I mean, outside of what Brandon was able to do, but Brandon was beat up, dude.
Yes, he was.
He was battered, and then
we find out after the fight that Davidson was in the hospital the night before, and still was able to fight like that. I mean,
and still able to fight like that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He is a scary, scary dude. So that's why he got my nod, because he's the future right now of that division. And where I look at the other guys, like, Kevin is getting there. Kevin will be the future of that division, but he's not there right now. So if I had to edge, like, who is going to be the guy that's going to be the flagship bearer for the divisions, out of the three guys, Davidson's the guy that he's the guy that everybody's going to want to be like, for sure.
I agree. By the way, if he didn't have an incredibly awesome nickname already as the God of War, I would suggest the Vicious Butterfly.
A Vicious Butterfly. You can have that one. You can have that one, Davidson. Nobody's using that. You should totally use it. And if people chuckle at it, you just fucking take that shirt off, flex, and then they're going to run. He's a ripped dude. He is a ripped dude. He is one vicious butterfly.
He is a vicious butterfly. I love it. All right, well, listen, I'll say
that's the stranger talking.
Oh, the stranger is sitting
in. All the stranger has now been poured out of this giant ass, what is this, 32-ounce can?
I believe it's a 32-ounce growler. Yep. Fantastic.
Boy, in this, drinking it out of this lovely Buckeyes cup, which I'm getting down to the last final ounces.
Doing work. All right, listen.
It is doing work.
Keep an eye on the MMA Junkie Awards. Here's what I'll say. So I wasn't sure if we would agree or not. We did agree. So we both went Zhang Weili for the Female Fighter of the Year. We both went Davidson Figueiredo for the Male Fighter of the Year. I won't reveal what our awards were at MMA Junkie. I won't spoil that. But I will say this. The staff agreed with us on one, and they disagreed with us on another. So, keep an eye out.
When does that drop? Which one of those drops first?
You know, I think the female fighter drops first. I can't believe you just got me to use the term drops. I hate that terminology.
Do you?
Yes, it sounds so.
That's
like
what all the kids are doing. You know, when's that new track drop?
Or, I know.
Is that what they still say that?
I can't believe you got me to say that. I feel like such a clown now.
Is my beard coming thicker as I'm drinking the Stranger? I feel like this, like it's growing as I'm drinking this. I'm looking at this camera. I'm like, man, that's a manly beard.
Love me latch some Latchkey Brewing.
You should market this as a beard conditioner because my shit's growing.
The male fighter of the year will drop on January 8th. So we'll actually have another show before then.
We have another, yeah.
And female fighter of the year drops on January 7th.
Mm.
So there you go. All of our content will start coming out January 4th. That's when all of our awards will come out. If you want to know.
Would you say our content is dropping like it's hot?
Oh, so ridiculous.
You most certainly wouldn't.
I definitely would not. January 4th will be Newcomer of the Year, Event of the Year, and Fight of the Year. January 5th, Coach of the Year, Breakout Fighter of the Year, Knockout of the Year. January 6th, Gym of the Year, Comeback Fighter of the Year, and Submission of the Year. January 7th, Upset of the Year, Under the Radar Fighter of the Year, Female Fighter of the Year. January 8th, Robbery of the Year, Comeback of the Year, and Male Fighter of the Year.
That's a lot of good content right there. A lot of good content to
look out for an MMA junkie.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys ever go and, I'm sure some of you go and comment. I mean, because we read those comments on the website. Like, so when you have some of that stuff, even though it's us talking about it, go on there, comment, hit up the reporter writing it. Let them know what you think.
Or if you want to take your game to the next level, head on over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow where you can sign up to support us for as little as $3 a month. Of course, that is the exclusive home of the and a half editions where we do bonus episodes after every single UFC event, which meant basically every single week for the past year or so. And
those are so tiring for me, but I do them every time. Those post-fight shows, I'm like, let's do this.
All right. He doesn't actually do them at all. Basically, I end up doing those on my own. Maybe we can find a way, but normally he's stuck working and I can slip out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm still working. These writers, they get done and they're just like, whatever.
I'm just taking it easy. Yeah, it's usually just
I sit inside the event, you know.
I still think even without the presence of cold coffee, I still think it's an entertaining post-fight show. We'll share like audio and interviews. That way you don't have to watch everything. And, you know, so anyway, join us at patreon.com. And then, you talk about commenting and discuss. We have a little community over there that you said we're building and we like to talk. And we're going to do more in 2021. We're going to step up our game even more in 2020. 2020 was a big year for us there, but 2021 is going to be even better. And we'll try to figure out some more things that we can do over there. So, hey, tell us what you want. How would you like to engage with us? That's all we want. Like you said, we're two dudes talking MMA and drinking some cold beer. Maybe a little bit less cold beer in 2021, but still drinking frosty beverages.
Just a little bit less. And if we haven't told you before, it is proven, and this is a guaranteed fact, to make you more attractive. It makes you funnier. It makes you a better lover.
Yes.
Your employers are more likely to give you a raise, and your car runs better, your food tastes better, you smell better. And your kids are much smarter if you listen to the MMA Roadshow and are a Patreon.
All of this proven in a scientifically double-blind, FDA-approved study. It's completely factual.
It is completely true. I feel like it's been a minute since we have said these opinions are not proven by anybody. I feel like welcome Connor Hayes, another guy that's jumped
in.
Eric, thank you.
Yep.
We've had some guys come on here, and I feel like we've been bad giving some of the shout outs that we probably could. So I apologize that I will take that as my fault because 2020 kicked my ass, but I will try to be better for 2021 to give you guys all the love. So we appreciate it. If we don't say it enough, we love you guys. And you guys help keep the lights on and help us to expand this thing. So
no question. We really do appreciate it. So
yes. Again, your kids will be smarter if you listen to the show. they will get better grades.
We've got one more week of no real MMA coming up, but we'll still get together and do a show next week. Of course, 301 consecutive weeks since we launched. We've never missed. We won't take a week off. There's always stuff
to
talk
about.
Are you sad
about the miss?
What's
that?
Are
you sad about the time off? Or do you miss it?
Do you appreciate
the fact that there's a break?
No, you know what's funny is because we were in that run of like so many consecutive weeks in Las Vegas. You know, obviously you and I have been at every single one, right? Except for our furlough weeks. because it's, you know, it's right in our backyard, so we got to do it. And so, yeah, part of me was like, I need a break. Like, I'm just tired of doing – not tired of it. I hate to say that because, you know, man, I love this sport. And I love. There's no place I'd rather be on Saturday night than cage side watching fights. But it's just been like mentally, like, just a break. You know what I mean? Like, just been the same damn thing every week. So I was like, yes, I'm looking forward to it. And then as soon as it was, like, the first Saturday with no fights, I was like, huh, what do I do here? You know what I mean? So yeah, you know what? It's funny. I was ready for a break, and now I'm ready to be back, man. I'm ready to go, man. I had a couple days off, and I'm ready to do this again, man. I'm ready to do it.
I didn't miss it. I appreciate it. I think that's the thing is like when you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it. You start to lose how to slow down and like sort of like take a step back. And what I found in like taking the little trip to see the family is that I embraced this. So one more week off, I'm going to try to fully just embrace this, embrace the holiday season, all that good shit. Because you're right. Once the calendar flips over, we're going to be crazy busy again. And who knows what is going to unfold. I imagine we're still going to get a shitload of Apex shows.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be super, super busy here. And but yeah, man, that run of like the for a while there when it was the Tuesday night fights and then the Saturday fights.
That was tough.
Back to back. That was balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Crazy. I do not miss that by any means. But you're right. We're grateful to be working in this thing. We're grateful to be working in a sport that's actually participating in, you know, creating entertainment for all of us that are stuck at home. But one thing I am enjoying the time off, and so I'm not going to miss it for another week. And then after that, then I think we'll be geared up. But I just wonder because I know how you are. I know you love this shit.
I was ready for a break too, though. And then as soon as I had the break, I was like, I'm ready to get back.
But that's the thing, you know, it takes effort to like to be able to like slow down, because if you don't, We just run the risk of burning out, you know. So you got to be able to find the happy moments, and especially too, you know, that the time with family is definitely something that is one of those things. I think this year's been weird because for so long everybody's like, oh, you know, I need more family time. I need more family time until you're stuck at home with your kids and with your significant others all the time. Then you're like, I need to get away. I need more work. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, it was a blessing in a sense. So at some point, it's going to be gone. So I would just, you know, tell people that while it might be effing crazy right now, at some point, it's going to go back to normal. So enjoy these moments, because this is the kind of stuff that it might only happen this one time in our lifetime, where this sort of redo of life and how we live and work happens. Once we get back to just being ants, busy ants, going from here A to B and working, we might long. As crazy as it sounds, we might long for this at some point. So just enjoy it. Breathe when you can, but enjoy these moments, because when it's gone, then you're like, man, I guarantee some people will be nostalgic for this somewhere down the line.
Look at
because
you,
it's
man.
Such a different, it's weird.
You just continue to inspire. And you're so right. I mean, listen, nobody's going to yearn for a pandemic, but it is funny. I do think about, you know, in times past when we were just like, oh, man, my life's just so crazy. I don't have time to stop for a second. You know what I mean? And this year, we've had a chance – not had a chance. We've been forced to slow down.
You had to do it.
Stop. Yeah, you have nothing but time. Figure out what's right and what's wrong and, you know, take inventory, I guess, of what's going on in your life and what you can fix. And, you know, you're forced to kind of take a look at what's around you, whereas before you just kind of – galloped past it, staying busy all the time. So cold coffee, man. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, you said a lot of people have had worse 2020s. Not many people have had worse 2020s, bro. Like, yours is pretty damn bad. So for you to be the one for you to be the one dropping the inspiration right now, man, much respect. And hopefully on this New Year's edition of the MMA Roadshow, people get a little inspiration from cold coffee.
I hope so.
Well, listen,
I say it so that I hope I believe it.
I dig it. All right, listen, here's what we got going. So you know, of course, no big MMA shows this weekend, so no and a half this weekend, but we will be back next week as we always do. I don't know exactly when I'm leaving on Friday, but of course we sit down and record on Thursday as always, so we'll do a show on Thursday. I imagine we'll probably have to do it remotely again. But this worked out pretty good. I'm pretty excited about this. This opened up some possibilities. Yeah. Hopefully we didn't drop off in quality too much or anything like that. But then we leave on Friday. By the way, the young Mike Bond is going to be heading to Fight Island as well. So he actually flies into Vegas on Wednesday. Then he has to quarantine at the Holiday Inn that we've been become all too familiar with over the last year. And then he will be on the flight with me over there to Fight Island. So we'll have the young Mike Bond over there in Fight Island as well. Ferah Hanoun will be there as well. She's doing her gig again. Yeah, she signed up again. They brought her back for Abu Dhabi TV, which, of course, is the official broadcast partner. So we'll try to involve her in some MMA junkie stuff. We'll try to involve her in some roadshow stuff. She's technically kind of tied to Abu Dhabi TV first, so there's some limitations on what she can do and what she can't do. But, of course, she's such an expert on the Middle Eastern
game. She's a badass. We got a couple little studs, well, young studs, like Ferah and Nolan are a couple little badass. If you guys haven't, like, paid attention to some of the stuff that they're working and they're cranking out, they're fantastic. They're fantastic young talent that I'm amazed, you know, because when I feel like I was their age, I felt like I was much more swimming around trying to figure shit out. So I'm always amazed that when younger people are able to find their passion early and then excel at it. So I hope we can use her. I hope we can use her in some things. She's super sharp. If you guys don't know who she is, she's a little fucking badass. She's got great takes on MMA, and she brings a light to a lot of the fighters in regions that most of us here in the States don't know even exist. So I'm always amazed by these fighters that, you know, somehow when they finally break into the mainstream, she's like, oh yeah, I've been covering them for like 3 years. And it's like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, she's no doubt she's done a great job of being an expert on that Middle Eastern region and pay attention to her regional scene. And I tell you what, man, a lot of times people ask me, you know, for advice on, hey, how do I get started in this game? And I always tell them, man, start by covering your local scene, man. Start by covering your local scene. Number one, your local scene probably needs coverage, whereas the UFC, like the UFC don't need more coverage. They got plenty of coverage. You know, your local scene needs coverage. And, man, you start to develop relationships and you start to develop, you know, this knowledge base of these local fighters. Then all of a sudden, those fighters make it to the big time and they remember you from way back when, and you're going to be their primary go-to in terms of breaking news, in terms of giving interviews, in terms of that sort of thing. So she's done a phenomenal job at that. And yeah, now she's, you know, freelancing for the UFC's official broadcast partner in the region, you know. So it's, you know, it's funny.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, you know, I'd be in my hotel room over there in Fight Island, just have the TV on in the background while I'm working, and all her interviews, you know, are popping up over there. So it would be cool to see her on there while we were working. So yeah, Fight Island's gonna be good. It's only 2 weeks this time, so not the big 5 week extended edition. We will have MMA Junkie and the MMA Roadshow will have solid coverage. We're going to be well represented over there. So looking forward to that. You know, unfortunately, lost the Khamzat versus Leon Edwards fight. Bummed that we lost the fight, but to be honest, I feel even more bummed that they're rescheduling the fight, to be honest with you. I feel like they should have found somebody else for Leon Edwards, man. That dude has been out for so long.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised they decided to reschedule that one, man. I think they should have given him somebody else.
And hasn't that been like the story? Like, nobody just wanted to step up and fight this dude. And then here was another guy that everybody seemed, he, in his mind, was like, nobody wants to fight me. And Leon's like, fuck it, I'll fight you. I just need a fight, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, you figured there's plenty of guys on the damn roster. Give Leon Edwards a fight. You know, unfortunately, he's so high up that you don't want to just throw him anybody, because it's not that it's a disrespectful that you're like, oh, wait, I'm going to throw you a unranked guy. But at some point when a gentleman needs to eat and he needs to provide, you got to give him a fight, you know? So I'm sure he'd be willing to take whatever, but yeah, that's a bummer, dude. Cause that fight was going to be a huge test,
right,
for Khamzat. And it's a test too, just to, you know, see where Leon's at. You know, he's been out of there for a minute, you know, so it would have been good to see both of them. So, yeah, that's kind of a bummer. But
Kit Magny, yes, in the main event. Not a bad one there. It does look, by the way, that we're
two good dudes right there.
That's a great fight.
That's awesome.
Does look like we're going to end up getting Dan Hooker instead of Justin Gaethje against Michael Chandler. That'll be a great fight. That's not done yet, but that's the direction it's moving in. So, hate to see Gaethje out, but Hooker in, man, nothing wrong with that. So, looking forward to that fight. And man, I keep hearing we might have some fans. I keep hearing that there might be at Etihad Arena with some fans, so we'll see what happens. I'm a little curious to see That's how that crazy. All plays out. I'm a little curious to see how this thing works.
Especially because if he's like, I don't want to go to a place unless I can sell it out full, you know, that's a big ask. Maybe eventually he'll just bend and say, whatever. Like, I want to have people because they've been missing out on a gate for a long time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to be leaving on the table. So even if I was a business person, I guarantee everybody that has a restaurant, they would take partial opening as opposed to no opening.
Sure.
So before I forget, 2021's coming around. Just like we said, you know, there's many things that we're going to be trying to look at ways we can expand. But you guys, since you have been listening to us for a while, are very smart and you're very attractive. You're very well hung and you have great everything. If you have ideas or suggestions of things you want, I mean, we've done live chats. I think we have. We've done live videos and stuff. But if there's things that you think would be fun that you would like to participate in or something that we could do for you that are good suggestions or something, give us some ideas. Because like I said, you're all very smart and very attractive. Think of some things that you think that you would like us to maybe try to incorporate into 2021. And let's see what we can do for you. It's your show.
We just
speak on it. It's your show.
I dig it. Well, I'll with that note, we'll just say, hey, let's let everybody go enjoy their New Year's. As I said, we're still New Year's Eve as we sit down and record. I know a lot of people will be listening on New Year's Day, but we'll let everybody enjoy those holidays, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, we'll just say thanks for listening. We'll be right back.